Welcome to the Patient Activation Network podcast. I'm your host, Matt Cavallo. I have with me today David Goldsmith. David is the Chief Strategy Officer for WeGo Health, and David joins us today to talk about the WeGo Health Patient Expert Platform. David, thank you so much.
Thank you, Matt. It's great to be here with you.
It's great to have you and learn more about these great initiatives you have going on at WeGo Health. Before we get into that, could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. So I've spent my entire career working at the intersection of technology and social change. And I'm really interested in figuring out how technology can be brought to bear on the needs of organizations and companies that are trying to have a positive social impact. I've worked actually quite a bit in the nonprofit community for many years before moving into the private sector. I've been specifically in digital health now for about 8, almost 9 years. And I will say that the impetus for that was having been a caregiver to my wife, who was diagnosed with breast cancer about 11 years ago, and having gone through that experience with her, being really entrenched in the healthcare system in a way I never had been before, I learned enough to know that there were a lot of problems that needed to be fixed. And it struck me that that would be a great new phase of my career if I could actually focus specifically in health and do more to try to bring some, I think much needed change to the healthcare system.
So you got thrust into the caregiver role at a pretty early age. How's that going with you and your wife today?
Well, fortunately, it's going very well. She is now just about 12 years out. She's very healthy. And, you know, I will say, though, as you may know, anyone who's gone through a cancer diagnosis and treatment never really lets that go at some level. Any new pain that's that's sort of unclear what it could be, there's always a hint of fear there that creeps back in. And so there are times when thinking again about, is this something that you need to look into further? What are the questions that need to be asked? And once you've had an opportunity to really learn what it means to be an active and engaged patient, you don't let that go. You know that the next time something rears its head, that it's time to put that hat on again and dig deep in order to make sure that you're at least feeling confident that the decisions you're making about some aspect of your care are the right choices.
You mentioned being an active and engaged patient, and you yourself were an active and engaged caregiver. What was that moment that you decided that, hey, I'm going to take all these skills that I learned and transition them into healthcare to try to make a difference?
Well, I would say there were probably two things. One was recognizing that even though the care here was very good in our area, it didn't necessarily reflect what we had been hearing from others outside of our area. And we were concerned that perhaps the standard of care was lagging a little bit. And it really put us in a position of needing to learn a lot more very quickly in order to make sure that we felt confident that the treatment path that was being recommended was the right one. And so that, of course, not surprisingly, led to a lot of Google searching and digging and talking to other patients, not just people we knew, but people outside of this area who had a similar diagnosis. So that quickly reinforced that being able to connect with other patients in particular who had already been treated for breast cancer was just a critical dimension of figuring out my wife's care plan. There were things revealed in that process that, as it turns out, were really essential to learn in order to put together the right path for her here. So that was a key piece of it. The second was around health records. When she was having to talk to more and more practitioners, not just her oncologist, but others, we were up against the inherent limitations of a healthcare system where health records are not readily accessed and shared among providers. That problem was significant then. It hasn't completely been eliminated today, as you know. And that just had me scratching my head because as a guy who had been working in and around the tech world and was, you know, certainly aware of different kinds of technologies that were improving our lives on so many levels, it just struck me that in something as critical as healthcare and something seemingly as simple as the portability of health data, I thought it's absurd that this problem is persisting. And so I wasn't so bold to think that I was going to solve some, you know, entrenched interoperability issue, but it just struck me that that was one more massive problem that needed to be addressed, that there was, it was obvious that was a tech problem as well as we learned subsequently, an organization and a cultural problem. But I wanted to help tackle that kind of an issue. So I would say kind of a confluence of those forces that made me say there was a third, Matt, and that was just the overall value of peer support throughout this process, not just for my wife, but for me as well. I had actually spent a fair amount of time early in my career building online communities that were really intended to foster peer information sharing and peer support across, well, primarily focused on public interest attorneys. That was where I really got started. So I had a sense of how valuable that could be. But again, I hadn't really thought about it in the context of navigating a really complex, rather frightening health condition like cancer. And it really was quickly reinforced for me. Once we started connecting with people, peers who could share their experiences, it of course was very reassuring. It was comforting. We learned a lot in the process, and that reinforced for me as well that anything that could be done to build those kinds of peer communities in healthcare would invariably help a lot of people. And it was in fact one of the early things I did when I shifted to digital health. I worked for a company that built condition-specific sites to help people with a range of complex and chronic conditions.
We're talking to David Goldsmith, Chief Strategy Officer for WeGo Health. I want to shift now at this point to WeGo Health. So we learned about your background and your journey with your wife through the cancer diagnosis and how that inspired you to go solve some of these critical problems and gaps in the healthcare system, as well as offer some peer support, which is just absolutely essential to feeling like you're not so alone or isolated in the disease process. How did your journey lead you to WeGo Health?
Well, having an opportunity to work in digital health and going to various conferences and just building my network, I had the occasion to meet WeGo Health's founder, Jack Barrett, and he and I became fast friends, not just professional colleagues, but people who, we connected and we would continue to stay in touch over the years, mostly to compare notes, as both of us were trying to build companies and obviously provide more value to the healthcare system in various ways through technology solutions, through patient communities, et cetera. We would get together on occasion and compare notes and talk about the challenges of trying to build viable companies in healthcare that were focused in the areas that we had been. So about a year and a half ago, he began looking at how WeGo Health in particular could evolve, what that roadmap would look like. And we started brainstorming. I was essentially an informal advisor at that point, really just to try to share what I had been learning and what I was seeing in the digital health world in particular. And I just coincidentally was at a point in my career where I chose to leave my last company. And Jack reached out, asked whether I was interested in coming on board as Chief Strategy Officer to help chart this course. And I just jumped at it because I think the opportunities with WeGo Health and the patient communities that we work in are really profound. And so it was really an opportune time for me to just jump in.
And I want to explore that a little bit more. You guys are doing something truly innovative at WeGo Health, and that's the WeGo Health Patient Expert Platform. Could you tell my audience a little bit about what the Patient Expert Platform is?
Absolutely. So WeGo Health Experts is an effort to make it easier than it's ever been for healthcare companies of any kind, of any size, to tap the power, the reach, the influence, and the knowledge of patient experts. And in our world, patient experts are people who don't just bring the very important patient experience to the table, they also bring professional skills that enable them to add real value to companies and help in healthcare and actually help them solve some real problems related to engagement and adoption, awareness, lifestyle change, et cetera, where we know there are some major challenges in healthcare. So the goal now is to create and build this marketplace where companies can very quickly summarize their needs, explain what they're looking for, what kind of project they have in mind, and post that on the platform, at which point it can be seen by hundreds of patient experts who can in turn submit a proposal, describe how they would approach the project, what their background is, and how that prepares them to tackle the problem, how much time they think it would take, what the deliverables would be, and of course, what they would charge for their time. So it's very similar to other on-demand hiring platforms that we're seeing now in other verticals. One that a lot of people are aware of, for example, is called Upwork, which literally tens of thousands of companies are using to hire freelancers who can help them with everything from social marketing campaigns and web design to other kinds of very project-specific work. So we're taking that kind of a model, bringing it into healthcare in order to facilitate, hopefully, a much more sustained level of collaboration between companies and organizations that really need patient expertise and those who are clearly very well positioned to provide it. And it's been incredibly gratifying, Matt, because we launched this in February and we already have over 200 companies with profiles on the platform. The majority of those companies have posted projects and have had an opportunity to engage with the experts on the platform. And not only are they finding that this is a very cost-effective and very efficient way to find this kind of very unique expertise, but the experts themselves are finding that this is a great way for them to bring their patient experience and professional skills to bear on the needs of these companies. And they're passionate about it. As anyone, you know, who's been entrenched in healthcare, either as a patient or a caregiver, can attest, it's hard not to be passionate about wanting to have an impact in healthcare. So there's a real win here on the part of the experts, partly because of being able to work on projects that they're passionate about, but also they're being recognized for their skills and their expertise, and they're being compensated accordingly. So a lot of these folks in our network who are dealing with chronic and complex conditions have, in a sense, been kind of relegated to part-time work, and in some sense are the ones who can really most benefit from this emerging freelance economy. And so for them, it's also a chance to earn some additional income, which in many cases, of course, really helps them with high out-of-pocket costs that they incur by virtue of being so entrenched in the healthcare system.
If I was an organization and I was looking to engage a patient for some kind of project, what use cases are you seeing that organizations may want to consider a WeGo patient expert?
Sure. It's an excellent question. What we're seeing now and what's been so encouraging are the number of use cases that are in evidence now. We know that companies, many of whom we've worked with historically, have recognize the value of tapping into the patient community in order to better understand the patient experience, to better understand unmet needs, for example, what some of their big challenges are, et cetera. So those have been the kinds of projects that historically we've seen where a company would say, okay, we want to talk to 2 or 10 or 100 patients about some aspect of their healthcare journey, right? And we want to better understand that in order to hopefully improve upon whatever solution or product we have on the market to help them. And that continues to be a use case that we see frequently where companies that want to connect with these people in times, it could be just a one-off, one-hour in-depth interview. In other cases, they're looking to connect with dozens of people who can bring really important perspectives to the table to inform how these companies are evolving their products and so forth. So that is a great starting point. And what's been so encouraging, though, is to see companies now going beyond that and recognizing the value here is what I like to say goes across virtually every stage of a product lifecycle. In other words, bring patient experts in to help you not only understand where their needs lie, but work with them on the design during the design phase of a project. Work with them when you're bringing new products or solutions to market, both to help with the messaging and the communications around that so that it resonates with your target audience. But beyond that, work with patients who have deep reach within patient communities to help educate and build awareness among others in those communities around the nature of your solution, why they should be looking at it, how it could benefit them, etc. So we've seen, for example, a couple of companies start projects here where they're seeking to bring people to the table to actually help co-create solutions. For example, one very large and prominent healthcare agency hired 2 patients on the platform who are very tech savvy and who also have a history of treating rheumatoid arthritis. They were invited to join with that agency's client in an intensive workshop to co-create an Alexa skill targeting people with RA. That's one example. Another is a company that's in an early stage company that was bringing a new medication adherence app to market targeting people with multiple sclerosis. They were very eager to get more people in that community using the app and providing them with feedback about its strengths and its weaknesses and what this company could do to improve the app. So they hired a patient expert who is very prominent in the MS community, someone who has tens of thousands of followers, in fact, in the MS community, to not only download the app himself, but to get the word out to folks in his network that there's a new app that is designed for people with MS who often are facing some challenges around medication management and to get them working with the app so that they could provide that feedback to the company. And within a relatively short period of time, he was able to get more than 200 people in his network to download the app and take that step. That's an excellent example of how a company can quickly establish a connection in a patient community like that by virtue of working with someone who is already well established as a leader and as a trusted voice in that community. We also had an occasion to work with a company out of San Francisco called Amino, which is still a relatively early stage company and working hard to build awareness among healthcare consumers of its solution, which is really aimed at helping people make smart decisions related to their healthcare based on cost and quality. And needless to say, there are countless healthcare consumers out there that are not familiar with, don't know that there's a website they can go to help them actually make that kind of an assessment to compare costs of certain procedures, for example, and the quality of the providers. So they hired three people on our platform, one focused in chronic pain, another focused in the HIV community, and another dealing with autoimmune conditions. And those people were all recognized leaders within those communities. So again, it instantly gave that company, Amino, an opportunity to get the word out to people within those communities and to let them know that this tool exists and that it's one they should definitely be aware of. So those are some of the use cases that we're seeing. And as I said, it's really gratifying now to see companies for the first time, I think, in many cases, seeing that there is an opportunity here to work hand in hand with patient leaders, to view them as true partners and helping them to solve some of or address some of these big challenges they have as companies bringing new innovations to market.
That's very inspirational. It's so good to hear that you're getting involved in connecting these patient experts with companies that really want to use the patient experience to make a difference in healthcare. David, what are some examples of the backgrounds of patients that you're seeing apply to be a WeGo Health expert?
So I would say at this point, Matt, there are three pretty distinctive characteristics. One is that these are individuals who, again, either as patients or caregivers, have clearly been entrenched in the healthcare system in ways they probably never hoped to be and dreamed of. It's clear that most of these folks have had to tread a pretty difficult path, to say the least, because they're managing or dealing in some way with a chronic or complex or rare condition. So that's certainly a common thread among the vast majority of folks on the platform. Second, that not only are they in the system to that extent, but they have taken the steps to become very knowledgeable about their health specifically and their condition, their diagnosis, their treatment path, and they're often sharing what they have learned with their peers. The vast majority of people in our network are very active on social media. In fact, at this point, when they share information through their social channels, if you look at the average number, an individual on our platform will reach more than 15,000 people just by virtue of sharing something. About 80% of the folks on our platform participate in 5 to 7 online communities, and they are almost invariably among the largest contributors within those communities. They're among the most active. So we can see that these are people who aren't just actively engaged in their own health, but they are very forthcoming when it comes to sharing what they've learned with others and are in many cases recognized by their peers as among the top leaders within some of these patient communities. And then the third thing we see is that these are folks who have really fascinating, very broad, very diverse professional backgrounds. And the reason that becomes relevant is because they are able to draw upon those skill sets to help companies with some of their business problems. Two quick examples. One is Kelly Franklin, who has a PhD from Virginia Polytech Institute in human development and organization behavior. And Kelly was a strategic innovation advisor with Booz Allen Hamilton in Washington, D.C., where her focus was primarily in design and systems thinking, and she worked in global health. But in 2013, she was sidelined with a breast cancer diagnosis, and she has now turned her attention to health systems innovation and patient-centered engagement. Another example is Michael Middleman, who has an MBA from Temple University. Michael is certified by IDEO as an expert in human-centered design. He's also a PCORI scholar, but he happens to be a 3-time organ transplant patient. Those are just two examples. And these are people who are clearly extremely well-positioned to provide very tangible value to healthcare companies.
Those are such great examples as people who have really had a a difficult diagnosis and are doing the best they can with it. Do you have any thoughts? Maybe somebody's listening to this podcast and going through a difficult situation themselves. Do you have any thoughts about steps they might take to be engaged on the WeGo Health platform?
Well, absolutely. First, I would say that if you're at a point where you want to bring your experience to bear in the healthcare system in some way, at a minimum, you should reach out to us because we have a network of over 125,000 people at this point who have told us in no uncertain terms that they want to try to bring their experience to bear in meaningful ways. And so at the very least, there may be an opportunity for us to work with you on a research initiative and to help a company understand some of your what you've personally experienced. So that's kind of at a minimum. But if you have a background that you believe really could be very useful to these companies, I strongly encourage you to create a profile on WeGo Health Experts. We are happy to review your profile and even provide you with some feedback if that's helpful to make sure that you've positioned yourself in the best possible light, just in terms of what we understand of the needs of our clients. And once you have an approved profile on the platform, you can begin immediately to see what opportunities are available. And if anything looks like a great fit, you can use the platform to submit a proposal. So if you have flexible time and are interested in earning some additional income while working on things that you are passionate about, this is a great place to hang a shingle.
It is such a great story. I've been following WeGo Health Experts since they launched. If you're a company or somebody who wants to learn more about being an expert themselves, how can they engage with you online?
We've tried to make it as easy as possible. If you go to WeGoHealthExperts.com, as a company, you can in minutes create a profile and you can start to browse the platform, see examples of the patient experts who are here. You can look at their profile based on their health condition and see where they have worked, what their skill sets are, and get a very good understanding in short order of the nature of the talent pool that is here. And similarly, if you are a patient or a caregiver who are interested in having a profile on the platform, it's as simple as creating a profile and providing us with that information. We'll then review your profile and again provide any relevant feedback. And then once your profile is approved, you have the opportunity to begin responding to engagements that are being posted on the platform.
And one more time, what was that link?
That's WeGoHealthExperts.com.
We'll make sure that we post these links on the podcast notes. So once you're done listening to this podcast, please read the podcast notes and we'll link directly to that site. David, we're starting to get to the end here. Do you have any closing thoughts that you want to share with the audience?
I would say my closing thought, Matt, is, well, first to thank you for giving me the chance to talk about what we're doing and what we're seeing as the opportunity out there in healthcare. And second is to say, we believe there is a vast untapped workforce in healthcare out there, that there are literally thousands of people who can help today to solve some significant problems in healthcare. And we're really committed to providing the platform to facilitate this kind of collaboration to help drive healthcare innovation that is truly patient-centered. So I really hope folks who are listening take some time to learn more about the platform and get involved.
David, thank you so much for joining us today. Really love what you and the rest of the team at WeGo Health are doing to get patients more involved.
Thank you, Matt.
He's David Goldsmith, Chief Strategy Officer of WeGo Health. I'm Matt Cavallo. This has been the Patient Activation Network podcast. Thank you so much for joining us and listening in. We look forward to bringing you another inspirational story soon.